This morning we're going to be talking about something kind of heavy. So I'm just going to ask you to prepare your hearts now. It's going to be a little heavy. That's okay. Sometimes we have to walk through the heavy to get and find the joy. Amen? Okay. So we're in the same place, and we're going to talk about grief. Grief is deep sorrow. The causes of grief are when people have a loss of a close family friend or family member. They become separated from a loved one. They lose a job or position. They lose income. A pet dies or runs away. The kids leave home. Or when they have a major change in their life and they know suffering might be coming. Getting a divorce. Those are all things that can bring us grief. And there's five stages of grief. There's denial and numbness and shock. Then the second step is bargaining. What could I have done? Where should I have been? If I would have done this, would it change my circumstance? Then the third thing is depression. We feel really heavy. We might feel really sad. Might want to shut ourselves in our house for a little bit, be alone. Fourth one is anger. It comes out in lots of ways, right? When I get angry, I cry. Acceptance. We finally get to that point where we say, okay, this is where I am. I'm ready to heal from this. Now, there's also things that help us resolve grief. The acknowledgement and accepting of both the positive and negative space or season we are in our lives. And we allow time to experience the grief in a real way. We confide in a person that we love or trust, family member or close friend. And we write things in our journal. I love to write things out. When I'm really upset with my husband, I write a lot of things out. Just kidding, babe, I love you. Crying can provide release. Have you ever had a good cry?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes my kids are like, why are you crying, Mom? I need to cry right now. I just have to get this out. I pray in my car. That's my war room. I just let it all out. Yes. No one can see me. Right? You think no one can see you. And sometimes it gets so heavy that we have to go see someone professionally. You gotta go talk to a pastor or a counselor and get mentoring because it just becomes very overwhelming. So when have we found ourselves in this immense grief? Maybe we lost someone, or maybe we found out someone that we love is gravely ill. Maybe we dealt with that major loss. Maybe it's our own health that we're grieving. Maybe, like Jesus, we know that suffering's just around the corner. Jesus grieved, and he went through suffering just as we do. In today's passage, Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, and he knew that he was about ready to be handed over to the authorities, to be beaten and killed, humiliated. So he brought his disciples to pray. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. So if you please stand as we learn from God's word together. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared. He appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Our Savior grieved. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples and he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we could spend reading and understanding and transforming our hearts to what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So our scripture today in verses 39 through 40 begins with Jesus praying in the Mount of Olives. In the NIV and the NLT, the New Living Translation, both say as usual. In the Amplified version, it says, as it was his habit. And in the ESV, it says, his custom. This is something that he continued to do. People would know that he would be there. His disciples would know that he would be there, and he still chose to go there, even though he knew Judas would be looking for him. He still went, as usual. He knew that Judas would know where to find him. Feel how heavy that is. The disciples followed him, and Jesus told them to pray. Luke 22:40, on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And so Jesus asked them to prepare themselves here. Pray for yourself. Pray for me, because something big is coming. Prepare your hearts. And so then Jesus went a little farther to pray, because he knew he himself needed to pray with his heavenly Father to find strength for the suffering that was coming. So he prays that God will take this cup from him. He gets on his knees. "Oh God, if there's any other way." Luke 22:42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And those famous lines, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now we've read about this cup in the Old Testament. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah use this analogy of a cup for God's wrath. What Jesus is talking about is taking on God's wrath. Yeah. The wrath that was for you. That's what he's talking about here when he says the cup. Yeah. Will you take this cup from me? This wrath. I don't want to take this on because I know who you are. I don't want it. I don't want to be separated from you. And so Jesus, in this moment of showing his humanity, breaks down. He's stressed, knowing that the sins of the world are going to be upon him. He's going to be taking that on, and sin is separating him from God. Even with all this, he desires to follow his Father's will. Even with that, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." In verse 41 through 44, we see an angel from heaven coming to Jesus. Because God knows the grief his son is in. He knows the suffering he's going to go through. He knows he can't take the cup away from his son. So he sends an angel to strengthen him. Amen. Jesus, in anguish. To be in anguish is the severe or mental physical pain of suffering. It's just extremely distressed. And so he's grieving for what has come to come, the suffering that he would walk through. And so then Jesus prayed even more earnestly, so much so that it was like drops of blood falling from his face. That means it wasn't just beads of sweat on his face. It was just pouring out of his body. Have you ever been in that much stress? And grief? That is heavy. In 45 through 46, after praying, he went back to his disciples. After being in this moment of grief and stress and thinking of what he was going to come against, and he finds them sleeping. You're my people, my brothers, my disciples. I've been teaching you and loving on you, and here you're sleeping. In Luke 22:45, he found them asleep. But here's what caught my attention this last time I read this scripture. Exhausted from sorrow. How often did I read this and I think, gosh, you guys, come on. Come on. Jesus just told you to pray for him. They were exhausted from sorrow. All of a sudden, I started having a little bit of grace for these guys. They weren't just sorrowful for themselves. They were found sorrow and grief in Jesus, their Savior. All of a sudden, they realized, we're losing him. He's not going to be here anymore. The understanding of their mind, this is heavy. And they confront this question, why are you sleeping? Well, Jesus, we don't know how to take this. We don't know what to do. And Jesus says, pray. You got to get up. You got to pray. Don't fall into temptation. I know what's going to happen to you. Get up. Pray. You don't have time to feel sorry for yourselves. You don't have time to feel sorry for me. Pray. Be strengthened by your Heavenly Father. Because there's things that are bigger at play here that you don't fully comprehend, and you need to be ready for battle. Amen. Your grief's going to be way too heavy when you see me going through everything I will go through. Be ready for battle. So why is this so important that we spend time here? Because this scripture is heavy. Glenn came up to me this morning, had tears in his eyes because he knew what I would be preaching about. This is a heavy scripture. It's hard to read this about our Messiah and not be overwhelmed by it. So why do we need to spend time here? It's important because we don't walk alone. We don't suffer alone. We have a Savior who suffered too, who grieved too. And we had a Savior who went to his Heavenly Father and asked him for strength like we can. That we can go and ask for strength. We have a God who listens and answers and provides for us in any time that we need, in any moment. And so if we break this down, I think we have to start with prayer. Jesus prayed in his hour of need. That's the first thing he did. I'm going to go pray. And then he had the opportunity to ask. Because that's what God does. He allows us to ask the question, and he said, take this cup from me. This is called the agony in the garden, because Jesus is in agony. He's in a deep grief, but he still had the ability to ask. We can ask God anything we want. He was sweating so badly, the grief was like blood falling from his face. This prayer was an expression of how we are able to walk a journey with Christ in any situation, any season, and any grief that we have. Amen. And we have a comforter. Amen. God sends the strength, but we have the opportunity to still vent those feelings. Amen? Yeah. Amen? So during these times, we might not know how to pray, but we trust that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We trust that there's people in our church family interceding for us. Amen. Yes. In Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Because we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sometimes it's just a breath prayer, because that's all we can get out. During difficult decisions, prayer is that helpful conversation between our Heavenly Father. That's who we get to go to. Yep. We're allowed to ask the questions. We're allowed to have all the feelings. We're allowed to walk through that grief just like Jesus did. We can't do this on our own. We need to take time to pray. If Jesus prayed when he was struggling, we should too. It should be a habit. When I was a little girl, My dad would get up early, early in the morning and pray for us. And if I would wake up, I'd sneak down the hallway, and I'd look around the corner just to make sure he was still there. Is Dad praying this morning? Yeah, Dad's praying. He'd have his Bible on this big chair in our living room. It was the same chair every morning. He'd sit right by the front door. And he'd have his Bible laid out over the chair. And I'd sneak out, and he would just have his eyes closed, and he would just be praying out loud. And he'd be praying for me, and he'd be praying for my brother and my sister and my mom, and he'd be praying for the people in his church. And sometimes he'd be weeping, and I would just watch him pray. Amen. It's such a beautiful thing to see your parent pray. That's what we got to do. I watched my family, my parents, both my parents, they would pray in their struggles, and that's how I grew up. I knew that when we struggle with something or when we were in a moment of joy, we always went to prayer. I remember my dad was going through struggle through work, and he was in this job that was killing him, and it was driving my mom crazy because it hurts her when it hurts him. And she was in the kitchen, and I just remember standing there listening to her just washing dishes, and she was just praying. I mean, she was getting, oh, God, I don't know why he's in this job, but you need to fix it. We need something else. I'm not happy. Mom's not happy. Nobody's happy, not even God. She was there praying through her struggle, through her husband. She was interceding for her husband. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah. She was interceding for him. Just walking around, doing the things for us, making lunch, cleaning up breakfast, praying for her husband. Interceding for him. And then we come to our sleeping disciples who are supposed to be interceding for Jesus. And it's easy to go, why? What were you doing? Oh, man, but they were in anguish, too. Have you ever been so grieved that you fall asleep? Have you ever been so sad that you just can't even keep your eyes open because the tears are welling up? That was the disciples. They were so hurt. There was so much sorrow there. They just couldn't even do it. Their body couldn't even go on anymore. They were just exhausted. So they did exact opposite of what Jesus told them to. Whew. The struggle between our human failure and our divine purpose is real. In that very moment, we can see, whoa, we need Jesus more than anything else to get through grief because our physical bodies can't even do it. If Jesus couldn't even hold himself together, he's just sweating so much, how can we do that? I mean, he was both God and man. Oh, asleep. They failed to do what they needed to do. I remember when my friend, she was going through something very difficult. She got home one day from work, and she walked into the house, and things were missing. I thought, that's weird. It doesn't look like anyone's been in my house, but there's things not here. And she walks into the bedroom, and her husband's closet is empty. She has no idea what's happened. And so she calls me. She's like, I don't know what's going on. He's gone. He's not answering his phone. All his things are gone. She had no idea there was a problem. I was broken for her. And I just got on my knees and I started praying for her. And I just, my whole body hurt. And I was just crying for her and sobbing because I didn't know, my heart was so heavy for her. Have you been there for someone that you love? That grief that you just can't, it's just so heavy. It hurts. And so we step into those spaces for people that we love that much, and we just intercede for them. And we pray for them. And I pray that we don't fall asleep when someone is hurting like that. Because, man, we got to be awake for the battle that they're in. Because they're going to need our strength. Amen? Amen? Our next thing is our obedience. Jesus was very honest with God about his anguish. And yet he was obedient. He went right to where he always did. even though he knew Judas would find him there. He asked for the cup to be passed, even though that it would not. And he still said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." He even said it out loud. And I think that's important. He said it, physically said it out loud. Yes. Yes. I've had to do that before. When I didn't want to do something, I had to say, "God, yes." I had to say it out loud because I had to hear myself say it too. We're called to surrender to God's plans, even in the face of our suffering. We're called to do just as Jesus did. And after Jesus prayed and voiced his obedience, an angel came and strengthened him, just as God will strengthen us. When we have those moments of suffering, the Holy Spirit is there. And he comes and he loves us, and he strengthens us and encourages us so we don't feel alone, because we are not alone in this life. God's presence is here to strengthen and guide us even when our human friends fall short. Following God means opening ourselves up to suffering sometimes, the grieving, the sadness, the hurt, the pain. But we are also part of God's blessing, the fulfillment of God's purpose on our lives. Jesus took that wrath so that we could have his glory. Oh, all that so that we could have his glory. So I'm going to ask you today, what does that look like in your own prayer life? Have you had a prayer time like Jesus did on the Mount of Olives? Have you put your guard down and allowed God to see the whole story, the whole heart of frustration, the grief, the sadness, the joy, the anger in your life? Has your prayer time been an honest time with God, your Heavenly Father? You have that opportunity today to change that. As Christ followers, we're called to lead an example of Jesus. In the garden, Jesus showed us how to pray and obey, and that is what we are to do too. Pray through struggles, be raw and honest. The great things about serving God is that God wants to know all of us and all our feelings. We don't have to be afraid to show our emotions when we pray. We can step out in obedience, knowing that God knows it's hard. He's our comforter. He'll give us strength to face whatever we have before us. That's the God we have. So I challenge you today to have a deeper and richer relationship with God in your prayer time. I challenge you today to step out in faith and obey even when it's a struggle. To follow the one who leads the way. He's got a journey for us. Are you ready? Amen. So I'm going to leave you with this. We are called to pray through our struggles, being raw and honest, moving to a place of obedience so that we can take our next step into faith like Christ Jesus. Not my will, but yours be done. Can you say that with me today? Not my will, but yours be done. Dear God, thank you so much for this word. A reminder that you suffered first, that you grieved your whole spirit. Dear Lord, I know that there is someone here who has a heart that just wants to be able to come to you. Maybe someone here who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, and they're thinking, "Gosh, I didn't know that I had a God who loved me that much, that I could come to him at any time." If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can just repeat after me, "Dear God, I want you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins.
Make me new again.
I'm ready to follow you. If you pray this prayer, go find somebody today. Tell them that you have a Jesus in your life, a new friend, a Savior, a Messiah who loves you so much that he saved you. God, I pray for each and every person here. I pray that the word just touched their heart like crazy, just wants to mold them like crazy, make their prayer life that much richer, that it doesn't stay here, that we walk out there and we're invited into this space with you that allows us to grow and mold into the men and women that you've called us to be. It doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop on Sundays. We get to live this out every single day. We get to spend time in prayer with you every single day of the week. Anytime, always, in the car, with the kids, at home, out on the baseball field, wherever we are, God, we get to be in the presence of you, our Heavenly Father. God, thank you for this reminder. Thank you that we have the ability to ask, that you will answer, and that you will come to us in our time of need, and that all the blessings then come next, all the joy, even in our sufferings, we find joy. God, we just give you today and this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go out and be Jesus to somebody. Go tell them how much Jesus loves them. See you next week.